It is a great delight to be with you again this week, but at the same time, and I mean this, there's a great deal of fear and trembling involved as well, because this is a solemn responsibility, and I am responsible. Number one, to the Lord God Himself. And then I am responsible to you as well. And I take that as seriously as is possible for me to do. Today, for our Sunday school portion of our Bible studies, we're going to deal with justice. What are we talking about when we speak of justice? Justice is rare in this world today, true justice. Of course, when we speak of justice from this pulpit, we speak from a biblical perspective, the Holy Scriptures. If we look to Strong's new exhaustive concordance of the Old and New Testaments, we find the word justice 28 times in the King James Version. A closer look at this word leads us to a number of words. Please pay attention here. Our entire message will be based upon what we're going to look at by looking at these words. Words related to the word justice. Let's look at most of those words. Words in relation to justice found in the Bible. The word just, of course. Justification, justify, justifier, justly, and justified. From those words, we also derive righteous, righteousness, righteously, right, and uprightness. All of those words in the Holy Scriptures, both in Hebrew and Greek, come from the same words in those languages. 99% of the time, they appear in the Scriptures. I'm going to give you a flavor of what I'm trying to tell you there. If you are just, you are righteous. If you behave justly, you behave righteously. You are upright. If you are just, you are right. To justify is to make righteous. If you are justified, you are made righteous. Justification is unto righteousness. God's justice takes all of these things into account. I hope you can bank that now as we continue on. To repeat just a bit, when you see the word justice in the Bible, we are referring to that which is just, that which is right. Therefore, biblical justice is righteousness in action. Did you hear that? Biblical justice is righteousness in action. When God condemns the guilty, there is justice, there is righteousness in action. In Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 7, the Holy Spirit of Christ, as mentioned in one of the letters of Peter, the Holy Spirit of Christ, who spoke through these prophets. In Jeremiah 50, Jeremiah, one of those prophets, verse 7, the Holy Spirit of Christ testified through the prophet Jeremiah, saying, listen, the Lord, the habitation of justice, the dwelling place of justice is the Lord Himself. What the Bible says. The source of justice is the Lord God Almighty. If there is any true justice, it must come from God alone. If mankind practices true justice, he has been led, prompted by God. Justice being righteous, and it is just that because its source is a righteous God. The Holy Scriptures proclaim numerous times throughout the Bible, the Lord is righteous. Numerous times throughout the Bible. Exodus, Judges, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Ezra, Isaiah, the Psalms, and so on throughout the Scripture, Old and New Testaments. The Lord is righteous. The Lord is right. And of course, the New Testament testifies of Jesus Christ in 1 John 2:1. Now, this is literally what it says. Jesus Christ, righteous. Now, I know our King James Version have the inserted word "the," Jesus Christ, the righteous, which means they've changed an adjective into a noun. I don't think you should do that. In other words, righteous Jesus Christ. This is who he is. Jesus Christ, righteous. The word "the" not being in the original text, why? Why would God do that? Because Christ is righteousness. Jesus Christ, righteous. Jeremiah 23:6. In speaking to God's true church, Jeremiah the prophet, not realizing what he said in full, speaks to God's true church, and he says this of Christ. Jeremiah says this of Christ. Now this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord, our righteousness. Christ is righteousness. And this is clearly what Jeremiah said, is clearly verified by apostolic authority, Paul the Apostle, in 1 Corinthians 1:30. Christ is made unto the elect, his people, righteousness. Righteousness. And if this is true for God's people, and it is, then Christ must be our justice. Did you hear me? If Christ is our righteousness, then Christ must be our justice. More on that in due course. Now I pray that we have learned thus far that God, as the source of justice, is righteous due to the fact that he is righteousness personified. If you want to see righteousness, you must see with your mind's eye the Lord Jesus Christ, representative of God the Father. That's the way it works. Now, what I'm going to say, the following is understandable. Yes, it is reasonable that God will always be right. Now, Christians, and I speak to myself here, I don't always act like that's true. When things go bad for me, I wonder, is God right to do this to me? I think if you're a Christian, you know what I'm talking about. Yes, God is always right. Psalm 119, verse 75. I know, O Lord, that your judgments, the word are is inserted there, that your judgments are right. Let's read it without the are. I know, O Lord, that your judgments right. You get that? The same thing. Judgments and right. The same thing as we saw in our word study earlier. Now note that the text does not say some judgments or most judgments, but your judgments in speaking of God. Whatever God's judgments, folks, those judgments, right. Right. Not wrong, but right. Christ himself reflected upon his own divine ability in this area of judgment. Judgment. John 5:30. Christ says this of himself. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. So what is Christ saying? His judgment is right. His judgment is righteous judgment. Because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Now this very same Jesus Christ, listen to me, please. This very same Jesus Christ who was crucified, dead, and buried, was raised from the dead, and will return at the last day from heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God to judge. Are you listening? This same Jesus Christ who was crucified, dead, buried, raised from the dead, ascended back to be with his Father, where he sits at the right hand of God, this same Jesus Christ will come to judge at the last day. And he will judge every human being who has ever been, along with Satan and all the fallen angels, better known as demons. Now, when that judgment takes place, and it will, folks, you can't escape it. It will take place. Justice will be implemented once and for all by the God-man, Jesus Christ. And folks, Christ's justice will make all things right. Christ's justice at the last day will make all things right. When he condemns, it will be right. And when he justifies, it will be right. I fear, especially those who are so politically minded, are looking for justice among men, among human beings. Don't look to anyone in humanity today or at any time to bring about true justice. Now, of course, that excludes Jesus Christ as a human being. The prophet Habakkuk, he has words that are very fitting for today. Habakkuk 1, verses 3 and 4. Tell me these words don't fit for today. If you can tell me that, you're blind and deaf. And obviously, maybe you couldn't tell me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. If that does not describe this present earth and this present country we live in today as Americans, you might as well just stop listening to this right now. Just go do something else. But if you are listening, how will Jesus Christ render justice in your case? In your case. Again, don't worry about anyone else or point to anyone else. It's not going to matter at the last day. It's going to be you and God. Period. Period. Do we all realize that? Do I really realize that? It's just going to be you and God. Period. And there are only two scenarios. You will be either found, you will either be found to be just or unjust. Righteous or unrighteous, justified or unjustified. No one. How many people does that leave out? No one can escape God's justice. I want us to turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23 and read verses 3 through 5. God says this, "But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries." The true church of God is gathered from all countries, where I have driven them, and bring them back to their folds. God has determined your habitation, folks. You can't change that. You may think you can when you move from here to there, But that's all done by the direction of God. And bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. His people. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Lacking in spiritual things, folks. Lacking, they shall not be lacking in spiritual matters. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness, a king. And folks, this speaks of Jesus Christ, can be none other. The New Testament verifies this. A king shall reign and prosper. Now listen, listen. This king, this branch of righteousness, and there's only one, Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, and execute judgment. He will execute judgment and justice. He will execute it, folks. He's going to do it. Judgment and justice in the earth. That's going to happen at the last day as far as culmination is considered. The end time. As the pastor has recently mentioned, yes, at the last day, there will be a general judgment where justice will be executed. And you and I will be there along with every human being who has ever been. You're not going to miss that appointment. You will be there. Well, what about if I die? Well, you're going to be resurrected. Whether you were saved or whether you were without Christ. God's justice will demand a perfect righteousness according to His law. There's a measuring stick. The law of God. Basically, we speak of the Ten Commandments. He will not take anything less than a perfect righteousness because He is a holy and just God. A righteous God. There's only one. There is no other. As God says repeatedly in the Holy Scriptures, you be holy because I am holy. Now, where are you? This message is for you. Where are you spiritually in relation to God and His law? Now, folks, I realize that 99.9% of the world doesn't even want to hear this. They're not going to listen to this. They're going to turn this off and watch something else. But where are you spiritually in relation to God and His law? If you are depending upon good behavior and the law, you are at a dead end and there is no way out. Why? Why would I say that? The Holy Scripture says this, Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a human being is not justified by the works of the law. How much more plain can that be? Knowing, this is the Word of God. the judge himself, knowing that a human being is not justified by the works of the law. Not justified. No human being will be justified, will be pronounced righteous due to their works of the law. Why? Why not? What if I keep the law? Well, all. How many does that leave out in reference to everybody? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Sin is the transgression, the violation of the law. 1 John 3:4. If you sin just one time, in word, in deed, or in thought, you fall short of the glory of God, which includes absolute perfection. Part of God's glory is absolute perfection. If you are not absolutely perfect in reference to God's law, you are unacceptable to God. And if you try to handle that truth on your own, you will be like those spoken of in Psalm 107, verse 27. They are at their wits' end. And that end, folks, according to Proverbs 14:12, is the way of death. You can't figure it out. You can't figure it out. You're at your wits' end. And that end is an eternal death. Christ himself presented this very same dilemma to sinners in Matthew 23:33. He says this, and I mean, can you imagine this coming from the lips of Jesus Christ looking you straight in the eyeballs? How can you escape the damnation of hell? Matthew 23:33. How can you escape the damnation of hell? You know, we find the answer for that in Job chapter 33. Job chapter 33. Listen to this. This is eye-opening. Speaking of a sinner. Yes, his soul draws near the pit. Hell. And his life to the executioners. The ultimate executioners, folks, are God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And some angels may be involved in the delivery of these folks that draw near the pit and are cast into it. If there is a messenger for him, for the sinner, a mediator. Now, your King James Version have the word interpreter. Look it up, and you'll see that the word has to do with intercession. Mediator, as it is in the New King James Version, I do believe is the more accurate translation. If there is a messenger for him, Christ is a messenger, a mediator, one among a thousand. And you know, in the Hebrew, that means it's just innumerable. There's only one. One among a thousand, to show mankind His, that's God's uprightness, a messenger sent to show God's uprightness, then God, then he is gracious to him, the sinner, and says, deliver him. Deliver that sinner from going down to the pit. The Lord God, and here I would suggest God the Father says, I have found a ransom. I have found a ransom. Christ was God's messenger there to all humanity to illustrate God's uprightness, what it is to be right with God. Christ illustrated that in his life. Christ knew no sin. He had no fault at all found in him, even by those who would put him to death. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners in committing sin. There is one mediator between God and humanity, a man, Christ Jesus. Think of this, because this is the way it is. Christ stands in the gap between God and human beings, interceding for them eternally. God has found a ransom, a purchase price. Did you hear me? A purchase price, a ransom in the person of Jesus Christ, his son. A ransom according to his eternal purpose in Christ. Christ has always been that ransom. It didn't dawn upon God to do that. Christ has always been a ransom. Now, folks, that goes beyond our understanding. You're never going to get that one. Twice in the Gospels, in Matthew and in Mark, we see Christ came to give his life a ransom, a purchase price for many. Not everybody without exception, but for many. Listen up. Listen up. His life for theirs. For that many, he gave his life for theirs. Folks, that is God being just and the justifier of those having faith in Christ. Ephesians 1:7 says this, in him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. And folks, that means his life's blood, giving his life for yours. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Folks, that's found in Christ alone. That is what makes us accepted to God, being in Christ. All of that is bound up in the perfect justice of God, a righteous justice. Now that justice requires an eternal payment for sin, because the eternal God has been sinned against. As King David said to God, as moved by the Holy Spirit of God, King David says this to God: against you, you only have I sinned. If you're still listening, God will exercise His justice, the only true justice, in two ways on the last day: through the Lord and Savior and Judge, Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ lives today, and He will return as the judge. I'm closing with this. Those who have no ransom will have to pay the full price for them, for their sins themselves. Can I repeat that for you? Yes, I can. I'm able to. Those who have no ransom will have to pay the full price for their sins themselves. And what is that full price? Eternal damnation in a place of eternal torment because they have offended an eternal God. That's why it's eternal. God will not be satisfied with anything less than eternal damnation. Let me go this way. Those who have the ransom price paid due to the eternal justice of God exacted upon His Son. Those who have the ransom price paid due to the eternal justice of God exacted upon His Son, He stands in the gap, will be united to Christ in paradise forever. As damnation was justice, so salvation is justice. Both established upon justice. Oh, friends, thanks be to God for Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for this substitute, or every single human being ever would suffer condemnation. I close with this verse, and I ask you to ponder it. Job 37:23 says this of God: the Almighty, excellent in power, excellent in judgment, excellent in abundant justice. Amen.